Well, thank you guys for being here today. We're going to open up Daniel. So Eric approached me a week ago and said, hey, there's a chance I might not be there next Sunday. So if you don't mind, just maybe be ready to lead us. And I'm like, yeah. Didn't think about it again until Wednesday when he said, hey, by the way, I'm not going to be there on Sunday, so you're ready, right? And I said, absolutely. So, yeah. So here we are. I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit for preparing me for that. Well, here's how it's going to go today, people. We're going to read a chapter, a paragraph, and then we're going to go into it a little more in depth. So here we are in Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Gotta love the little G. All right. So right now in Jerusalem, you got a whole bunch of turnover happening in the last 20 years before this verse right here. So you had Josiah. Josiah picked a fight with Egypt, and he got killed. Right? Then his replacement came in, and then Egypt took him to Egypt, and they put in another king. And it's in like a 20-year period, you end up going through like four or five kings there. So there's a lot of turmoil happening in Jerusalem. And when it talks about Nebuchadnezzar taking the choice people, right, and the items, well, it doesn't talk about the people yet. Hold on. Let's read that again. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of the Lord, and he brought them to the land of Shinar. Right, let's go into the next paragraph. Then the king ordered Asphanaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. So here's something that's very interesting, guys. We're talking about the king of Babylon. Something that's amazing about Babylon is it contained one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Right? It had the Hanging Gardens. It had a ziggurat in the middle of it. It was a mountain that Nebuchadnezzar built for his wife. And he built that mountain and put gardens all over it with native plants from Persia and all these places. Not only that, but the main part of Babylon was surrounded by like 60 miles of wall. And those walls, I'm going to throw out a number and it's going to be wrong. They're saying they were 60 feet wide. You could ride three chariots side by side across the top of these walls. Right? And they were 100 feet tall. This place was a fortress. Not only was it that, but he rerouted the Euphrates River around this wall to build a moat. And some of the Euphrates River passed under the wall. So you had a nice river through the middle of the city. Millions of people lived in this place. This was the Las Vegas of the ancient world. This was a truly incredible place that you're taking these people. And you're taking these young people, the youths from Jerusalem, the youths that have seen nothing but chaos in their life, right, to a place of extreme opulence, beauty, and just, it's like for me going to New York or something where it's just like, I have never seen anything like this. How easy it would be to get caught up in that excitement and those emotions and that spirit. Right? So we're going to keep going. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now, among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Okay, this is for the kids. All of you have heard sticks and stones, right? Are words important? Are names important? God thinks names are important. How many times has the Lord changed somebody's name that we've read about in Scripture? A lot. Does the devil do anything different? Does the world do anything different? No. They're going to do the same mold that God created because it's good. It works. So you take a man whose name is Daniel, which God is judge. And you change his name. And you say, Bel protects his life. That is what Belteshazzar means. Right? Hananiah, God has favored, become Shadrach. Command of Aku, which was another one of the Babylonian gods. So, Mishael becomes Meshach. Mishael, who is like God? This one struck me when Meshach becomes who is what Aku is. I can't read my own handwriting. And then Azariah, the Lord has helped. His name is changed to Abednego, servant of Nebo. Kids, this is important because here you have youths. Somewhere 14, 15, 17, somewhere in that age group who have known nothing but chaos in their life, even though they're the nobles and they're of the king's line and all of these things. That just means they've watched their uncles get killed. They've watched their cousins disappear. That this is the life that they've lived and they've been exposed to. Their entire existence for the last 20 years, Jerusalem, Judah has been in chaos. It hasn't been a pleasant upbringing for them. But something that Babylon does well, and the reason that Babylon is what it is, it's that place with the giant mountain in the middle of the city. Because what Babylon did is as they conquered, they took the favored. And they assimilated them into their culture. I don't know. Do we know any other countries that have done anything like that? So, it's like all of them have tried to do that. Where do you think we got Einstein, kids? Something that's truly amazing to me is that change in the name. I'm not quite ready to get to that point yet, but they knew what they were doing. Even in the how they changed the names played off of what their old name was, but in a worldly fashion, into the way that the Babylonian society wanted them to see themselves. So. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. All right, kids, why would he be defiling himself by eating the king's choice food? Possibly. You know, they had a strict diet, their kosher diet that they wanted to live by. Also, all right, Weston. Very good, Weston. Yes. For something to end up on the king's table, it was very likely that it was sacrificed first to his gods. It talks about it in the Old Testament. When Moses gets all the rules, right? I think it's Leviticus, maybe? They are not to eat of meat that was sacrificed to other gods. Daniel recognizes this as a 14, 15-year-old kid. What does that tell you about Daniel? He's very mature. Yeah. His brain works different than mine. I'd have been like, give me that. I'm hungry. But somebody poured into this kid. Somebody took the time to teach him the laws of his people. Somebody took the time to make him comfortable in who he was, to be able to stand up and say, I know what I believe, and I can't do that. You can call me whatever you want. Belteshazzar, I don't care. You know, the only thing I want to be called is good and faithful servant in the end. But I cannot eat that. What does God do? He blesses that. He provides him favor. And Daniel goes. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces look more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, back to the Hebrew names. Please, test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. How many of you guys have heard of the Daniel diet? Yeah. How many people get fat from that one? Not any. Yeah. We're going the wrong way here, right? I go on the Daniel diet. I don't last very long. He did it for 10 days. It's good. And then let our appearance be observed in your presence and appearance and the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. He says, put me to the test. Put my God to the test. He knows his God's going to show up. He is sound in his faith. He never lets it leave him, which is an amazing thing when you think about a youth existing in the world 1,000 miles from his parents after being marched across a desert. You know, that's something that's really interesting because they've excavated Babylon. I think they said it's, 100 miles south of Baghdad on the river. And they've excavated it. And in the Jewish quarter, in the Judean quarter, they actually found tablets. And in those tablets, there's receipts of, hey, this oil and this grain and this food was provided from the king's pantry to the sons of Jehoiakim, you know, to the royal family. They didn't find Daniel's name in there, but I'm not surprised they didn't. But there is evidence that those people were there, and they were fed from the king's table, and they were there to serve the king. It's history. It's not made up. It's not just a story in the Bible. This happened. This person was real, and his faith was accounted for in this book. So he listened to them in this matter. This is the servant of the king, and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had eaten from the king's choice food. There's a level of understanding in Daniel that just shows you someone poured into him. Someone introduced him to the Holy Spirit. Someone gave him the knowledge and the understanding to access that. I mean, for those of you who were here this morning in our Bible study, we had Psalm 78. And it talks about, well, let's just go to that real fast. It's worth going to. It feeds directly into this. We're going to go 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, and the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So you look at Daniel. He's existing at the end of the Judean kingdom, right? The end of that kingdom of Judah there. They haven't been faithful. They haven't been putting their faith in the Lord. They've been getting their butts kicked by everybody around them for 20 years at this point. They haven't seen the wonders that we're seeing coming out of Egypt. They haven't seen the prosperity that you had under David and Solomon. They haven't had those opportunities, but those stories have been told to them. The wonders have been passed down to them. They had the seed planted in them. They knew what their God was capable of. All right, so here we go. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Church, this is something that's really hard. Because you want, here they're in exile. They're living in a foreign land. We're not. We're not living in a foreign land. This is still a nation that was based on Christian principles, you know, on these ideas and ideals. It's changing. This world is changing that we're living in. We need to be able to root our children in this understanding of what their God represents and what he can do for them. So that when we turn them loose in this world, they're able to make these kinds of choices. It's a really hard thing because what do you want to do? You want to provide the most for your child. You want to provide the most for your family. It's the wrong kind of provision. Stop worrying about worldly provision and spend time teaching the kids the word, teaching them how to have discernment and understand how to exist in this world but not be of this world. And Daniel is amazing in his ability to do that. Another thing that is truly fascinating to me about this 14-year-old Daniel is Yeah, you can call me Belteshazzar. No, I'm not going to eat that. Teach me everything. It doesn't say that they didn't get taught what the king wanted them to learn to serve in his court. They were taught everything. And not only did they teach them everything, God gave them the ability to learn it better than anyone else. They didn't pick and choose what they could be taught. They didn't say, hey, no, what you're trying to teach me right now violates my beliefs. I don't believe in dinosaurs. They said, no, teach me. Knowing what they knew, knowing who their God was, that's something that's very important for today. There is a lot of information out there. You can't bury your head in the sand and not know it and not learn it. But what's written in your heart through the scripture is going to protect you and allow you to take these things in, but give them their proper place. Don't allow them to rule you. Don't allow these principles to change what your core beliefs are. That's the important thing that I see in Daniel is, hey, call me whatever you want. That's a non-negotiable. I can't eat that. Teach me. I love to learn everything because he knows the truth of what his God says and what his God means. So it's a hard thing because in today's world, what do? Kids go off to college. I know that is an eye-opening experience. So, it's from what I remember, very little. If you're not firmly rooted in your faith, that becomes a very dark time. It becomes a very hard time, and it can become very damaging. Something that Daniel is very fortunate for, and kids, invest in this, is he had three brothers with him who were willing to stand with him and do these things with him. And I mean, if you read later, it sounds like they lived together for a while after this. He had his companions who believed the same. And they were rooted as he was. And they understood as he did. And they were willing to do, sounds like, whatever Daniel said. You know, they were willing to follow his lead in this and exist in this way. It's important to have that support group. Obviously, all you need is God. That is what you need. But man, does it make it easier when you have three brothers with you to help carry the load and to pray with and fellowship with and exist with in a foreign land where, let me tell you, kids, all throughout the Old Testament, who were the gods that the Israelites always fall to? They always fall to Baal, and they always fall to Asherah. It's not PG. How do you worship Asherah? It's sex at the bottom of the pole. How do you worship Baal? He's the god of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Crops and produce and, you know, just, yeah, fertility and these things. So prosperity and sex are the things that seem to trip them up. You're now living in Babylon. It's Las Vegas. Tons of prosperity. City like you've never seen. Yeah, different gods here, different names, but it's the same world. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them. So how long did they specify? Very good. So 3 years. So we're now 3 years. 15 to 18, you know, so you're anywhere from 18 to 20 years old now for Daniel, is roughly the guess. And as for the matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Super interesting, they're talking about a Persian king, even though it's the Babylonian kingdom right now. But it's the writer of the book recognizes that Daniel existed from in the king's court from the time he was 20 till he was roughly 80. You know, he made it a long time. It's because of his faithfulness. and his ability to see what he needed to do to exist in this world, but not be of this world. And I truly believe after reading this, somewhere along the line he owes that to his parents. You know, were they faithful? It doesn't say. You know, were they perfect? I doubt it. I haven't met a perfect person. But somehow they were able to, in that 14 years they had with that kid, instill in him an understanding that I doubt that I've instilled in my children. You know, it's to send them off in that way and have them taken and offered everything, anything your heart desires, basically, they were offered. They just marched 1,000 miles in the desert. Hey, you want some bacon? Yes. Yes, I do. But for them to say no is something amazing. So in that, I'll just double down on it. Parents, it's important to prepare your children. Right? Children, it's important to recognize what this world is and what it represents, and to remember those lessons that your parents taught you. Hey, there's talks about it in the Old Testament as well. It's just like, honor thy mother and father. Is that not one of the commandments? So it's because the expectation was that your parents were going to teach you these ways and that you needed to honor them and abide by them. So going forward in life, just remember that. And remember also, especially for my kids, you can learn as much from a bad example as you can a good one. So, guys, this was a super short sermon today. Sorry.
So we were talking to some school friends with their last verse, they're memorizing Romans 12:1-2. Mm-hmm. And the last part of 2, we were talking about the difference between, because of do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing in your mind. And so we're going to hash that out. I think we're still thinking about it. Like Emma said, it's hard to say it in words. And I'm like, exactly. It's very, very hard. I mean, we use Plato as an example of being conformed to whatever you're pushed into. But transformed actually has this part of its definition of metamorphosis. Yeah. Like,
you're changed.
The water, and Eric has an example. Water conforming to the shape that it's containing, right? But transforming is like what Eric said, that sermon is like the water transforms into wine, right? More than just forming, you actually change to something else.
Well, and it's interesting to me because Daniel takes this like it's no big deal in how I read it. He's not excited. He's not emotional. He's just like, all right, this is business. Jeremiah and Ezekiel are contemporate, right? They're the same time frame. Just Noah's opinion, Noah's thought process is, I wonder if Daniel wasn't actually listening and knowing that, oh, yeah, Nebuchadnezzar's coming and he's going to crush us. He's aware. He's been listening to what the prophets say. He's got the heart. He's got the right understanding. From whatever his parents poured into him, seems like maybe they did as well. You know, he came from a house, would be my assumption, that was God-fearing and understood these things and honored that prophet and saw this coming. But absolutely, Steve.
In verse 17, that God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom.
Absolutely.
Does that mean that God is involved with some of the wisdom of this world?
Yes.
Literature, science.
Well, all those things.
Well, they weren't trained in Jewish history. They weren't trained in Jewish literature. They were being trained in Babylonian history, Babylonian science, Babylonian wisdom.
Absolutely.
Valued that, but God gave them, I don't know how he transformed that, but there's some point. But God was involved with the wisdom and literature of
the pagan society.
Of Babylon. It seemed like that. I don't know that.
So it's super interesting because if you go back historically, the Assyrian Empire that came before the Babylonian Empire in this point, the Assyrian Empire was the assembly of the first library. Kids, you learned this in your story of the world, did you not? Assyria. So, but they established the first library, right? That king went out and he assembled all of the books of all of his conquered lands, right? Which included Israel, the upper kingdom, who had the same beliefs as the lower kingdom. So that information is not lost. Babylon then goes, destroys Assyria, Nineveh, takes some of it, crushes and burns the rest, right? And they have it. And he wants his people to know it in this court. So that's coming. It does say he's given that. He's able to interpret visions and dreams. Absolutely. And that's something that you're not going to get from books, right? That is a spiritual gift that was given to Daniel.
Well, in verse 9, too, God grants Daniel both favor, which is loving kindness, literally, and compassion in the sight of the commander. So like you were saying, the commander and the overseer, it's like they were listening to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they
have the Lord always offered. He did the same thing with Joseph, right?
Yeah.
With Potiphar and all
right.
That.
It was just there was
the Lord's favor was
evidence that he was anointed.
Yeah.
Situation.
I like what you're saying too, though, that it wasn't just happening to him. Like he made all those decisions as well. Like he could throw the light out to not do that, to believe and not do that. But then he also applied himself, right?
So yeah,
that's God provided that he did the work.
Right, he wasn't a zealot or radical in that sense, like you said. He was willing to accept what the culture had to accept, knowing what's acceptable to the Lord and what's not, right? So be able to navigate that. It's like what Eric is saying, this sermon is important to the day for us, because we have to apply world knowledge because we're operating and we're walking in it, not be of it.
Exactly.
Like, I'll make it like I'll put it out there, like things like yoga, martial arts, or any of these things, because there's a spiritual element to all these things, right? But even I'll borrow a term.
What spirit are we doing these things in?
Yeah, exactly, because it's all of the Lord. Right. So do you have to be able to discern what's of the Lord, what's not of the Lord?
Yes. Absolutely. That is the lesson that I see in Daniel, in chapter 1. It's just that ability to exist, but also hold firm to what is of his faith.
It's connected to somebody else's authority.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. He subjected himself to a nice person that keeps reminding me that killed his entire
Well, yeah, he's subjected to a not nice person who God himself calls his servant. So,
the sovereignty of the Lord.
It's, so who is Daniel to not be subject to him? And to have the ability to recognize that as a 15-year-old young man is amazing. In our Sunday school this morning, we talked about that faithful spirit, right? And allowing that spiritual corruption. It's, yes, he is surrounded, and most of you have been around me, just like Lot has to exist in a place like Sodom or Gomorrah or Babylon at this point. You have to exist, but to do it and be rewarded as a faithful servant in the end is something, kids, that you're going to have to learn. Because not even just college anymore. It's just life in general in this world and business and in, it's...
Like you said, if you're in that place of like a Babylon culture, if you're shrouded in the mantle of humility under the Lord, and your spirit being one with the Holy Spirit, so that the corporate spirit is, you're doing your part as the corporate, and that the whole kind of the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Steve.
Back to Charlie Kirk, it was well known that he read about 100 books a year. And I heard him debating a socialist, and that Charlie just started quoting. He didn't have notes or anything. He just started quoting Karl Marx. He started quoting Engels. He started quoting all the original source literature back to this guy. Yeah. He knew all that stuff.
No, and what's so crazy about Charlie Kirk, it's impossible for any man to truly, he was otherworldly. But what he had said is that Charlie Kirk was Holy Spirit filled in order to have all the understanding they did. If you ever listen to, like you said, I don't know anybody who could navigate that without the help of the Holy Spirit giving him knowledge on the spot, being able to take on any kind of
He had it way before
mine. For sure.
But
he also had wonderful mentors.
Yeah, he had wonderful, and he also had wonderful friends.
Once again, thank you guys all for coming here. Thank you for the stimulating conversation. And just, it's not too late. If you feel like you're if you're not getting your job done pouring into your kids. And kids, it's never too late to start listening to your parents. Well, and it's throwing my parents under the bus because they're here today. Happy birthday, by the way. We didn't go to church when I was a kid. You know, I think I went to church 2 times with my parents and maybe 4 times with my grandma. So that's not what we did. Did we have Bibles in our house? Yeah. Did we read them? Occasionally. You know, it's, did my parents teach me morals and understanding of what is in the Word? Yes, absolutely. It's, could they have done better? Yes. Did they do enough? Yes. You know, so take that as an encouragement. Well, the importance of a name. Just picking out names. My name is Noah Benjamin, right? Noah in Hebrew is peace, right? And Benjamin is of his right hand. My parents named me so that I could be at peace in his presence. That is how Daniel was named. That is how Hananiah was named. That is how Mishael was named. I believe that firmly. And I believe that the enemy understands the importance of that. And thus he renamed them. So, was that seed planted in me and my siblings? Absolutely. Not in the manner that it was planted in others. But it was enough. Not without some trials. I wasn't as smart as Daniel. Wasn't so willing to just follow. But I had to learn harder lessons. So you don't have to learn those lessons that way, kids. So, and then that, yes, make it easy on yourself. Yeah. What's that saying? Yeah, there it is, Emil. A wise man learns from someone else's mistakes. Please learn from mine and don't repeat them. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this young man that we read about here, Lord, and for his ability to just recognize what your presence means to him and how you are a safe place in this storm that's happening in his life, God. It's in a land that's foreign, with foreign people and foreign foods and just all that excitement and fear and everything else that's cycling through this young man. He still is able to recognize how to please you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for our youth, Lord, that they take from this an understanding of what it means to be God-filled. And Lord, I pray for our parents and our grandparents and our teachers and all those who have the ability to write on the hearts of our youth with your word, Lord, that they take that opportunity and they continue to create disciples for you. And Lord, just bless this time that we got to spend here together. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given me in sharing your word. Lord, protect Eric on his travels to Mexico. Lord, I just pray protection over these brothers and sisters that are here today, God, faithfully listening and learning and pursuing your word and pursuing you. In Jesus' name, amen.